Sunday about a holy hyphen. A holy hyphen. I know that may seem unusual, but when I begin to study and look at the origin and history of hyphens, I was amazed. The first known documentation of the hyphen is in the grammatical works of Dionysius Thrax. At the time, hyphenation was joining two words that would otherwise be read separately by this low tie mark that you see, just a simple hyphen, just a small line. But that line would tie two separate words and join them together. In Greek, these marks were known as notochons. They were officially Romanized as a hyphen. It looks like a dash on screen, but there are stark differences between hyphens and dashes. A hyphen joins two or more words together, while a dash separates words into parenthetical statements. They're sometimes confused. If you were to walk through a cemetery today, you would see headstones that have a beginning year and an ending year, and they will be separated by a dash in between those 2 years, much like you see right here. But a hyphen is not about it's not about denoting beginning or ending. It's about continuation. The most expensive hyphen cost NASA about $80 million. Yeah, hyphens, they don't usually score high on the list of punctuation or most important punctuation, but this single hyphen led to an absolute failure for NASA in 1962. In the case of the Mariner 1, it was America's first interplanetary probe. The mission was simple: get up close and personal with our close neighbor Venus. But a single missing hyphen in the coding used to set trajectory and speed caused the craft to explode just minutes after takeoff. Because hyphens are important. Hyphens are about continuation. Hyphens are telling us that there is something more to the story. It's joining two words that may seem as though they are separate, but actually they need to be together. I've risen today to tell you that Easter is a hyphenated story. What a day Easter is. It honestly is the most important day of the year. You may say, well, what about Christmas? I go to church on Christmas too, and it's an important day, and absolutely it is. But guess what? I was able to do the Christmas thing. I was born. You were born. All of us celebrate our birth. It sets Easter apart. Easter is different than any other day. Today is different. And believe it or not, Easter is not the celebration of Christianity. It's not even the celebration of the teachings of Jesus, nor is it the celebration of the miracles of Jesus. Easter is the celebration of a very, very specific event. In fact, this day is built around that very specific event. Kind of in the same way that the 4th of July isn't the celebration of America. I know that's what it has become, with fireworks and patriotic songs and gatherings around barbecue pits. But actually, the 4th of July is the celebration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And what's amazing is that you can go through an entire 4th of July and you can eat good barbecue and have fun playing cornhole and enjoy picnics with friends and families and never even think about the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It's the same way with Easter. We can think about pretty dresses and we can think about flowers and we can think about special food and we can kind of go back and forth on whether or not we're going to wear a hat. I'm glad some of you did today. And then there's eggs. What is the deal with the eggs? Why are we hunting Easter eggs today? What do eggs have to do with Easter? You can even go to church on this special day, even if it's not in your normal routine or in your normal habit to go to church. All of it happens on this special day because Easter is based on an event. And this event is what makes Christianity different than other world religions. Because Christianity is not based or built around the teachings of a particular person. I don't have time to go into all of those explanations today, but this is not someone's far-fetched idea. This is not something one man dreamed up way out in the woods somewhere claiming that he saw a vision. It's not that kind of a deal. Instead, it is because of this event that we celebrate today called the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And had it not been for this event, there would be no Christianity. It wouldn't be the Christianity that you value or hold close today. You see, Jesus' teachings were so counter-cultural. They were strange even. They were the weird idea that no one had ever heard before. And they were so odd, they were so peculiar that likely they would have never made it out of the first century. The only plausible reason why Christianity began and took the shape that it did is that the tomb really was empty. And because people really did meet Jesus alive after his death, that's the reason people took notice. They wanted nothing to do with him. They were angry that he even had the power to work the miracles that he did. And it wasn't a big deal that he was crucified because there were two others beside him and more the day before and more the day after. So the fact that he was crucified wasn't a big deal at all. But when he got up 3 days later, when they went to the tomb and peered in and found nothing but a white cloth folded up on the tomb where he lay, it changed everything. And people started saying, what was it that he said on the hillside? We better go write that down. What was it that he said the other day? We should have paid closer attention because we thought he was just some other man. But the fact that he got up means I better pay attention to what he is saying. Paul proves it beyond a doubt. The hyphen is necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 3, Paul is teaching about the gospel. He's telling those who are there, the young, the proteges, the up and coming, those that are new to the faith. He's explaining to them where they came from and who they are. Paul is talking about the old school to the new school. And he says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried, verse 4, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen, notice, he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, even though some of them have died. He said, if you have any doubt whatsoever, he said, there are people that you can go talk to. There are hands that you can shake. There are eyes you can look directly into and say, would you tell me about your experience of seeing Jesus alive after he died on that cross? Paul said, you can find them. Paul said, they're here. Paul said, they are around us. Then he was seen by James. He was seen by James. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Now, let me just pause here just a moment. What would make you believe that your brother, your own flesh and blood brother, what would make you believe that he was the Messiah, the Son of God? Let me tell you something. For my brother, it would take him being killed and then being resurrected 3 days later. Absolutely nothing less than that. And James is saying, let me tell you about my brother. I know him better than I know anyone else. I was raised in the same house with him. I saw him take his last breath. I helped wrap his body and make sure that he was put into the borrowed tomb with honor and with respect. And it was done properly. I was there. I saw it. But guess what? I saw him alive. And later by all of the apostles, last, verse 8, of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, Paul is speaking of himself. He said, I also saw him. For I am the least of all apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. And not without results, for I have worked harder than any other apostle. And yet, it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. And then, go to verse 14, he said, and if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and our faith is useless. Look at somebody and tell them there's something different about this day. It's different. Not the celebration of Christianity. It's not the celebrating of a teaching somewhere. It is the celebration of the fact that he is alive. He rose again on that third day. And if that does not happen, then our faith is useless. Our preaching is useless. Verse 15, and we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. Paul is saying this is not a fable. Look, he saw him and she saw him, and those people over there saw him. And if they are not enough for you, take it from me. I saw him alive after he was dead, because the resurrection is why Christianity exists. It's the reason that the church got its start. Can I tell you on this Easter Sunday that there is a hyphen after the cross, because the story did not end in death. Those two words have to be joined together. Those two days are forever connected. Those two times in history are forever joined by one single slash that says death is not really final. Suffering is really not final. Tragedy really is not final, because there is a holy hyphen. You see, the resurrection is more important than the great teachings of Jesus. Please don't think me sacrilegious. I value them. I preach this book every single Sunday, cover to cover. I love the word of the Lord. But listen, this is even bigger than that, because we would not even know about any of those things had it not been for the empty tomb. Because many of the religions of the world, they paint Jesus as an amazing man. They tell you that he was a prophet. But that's about as far as they will go. They will tell you that he is a miracle worker, but hear me. We wouldn't know about any of those things had it not been for the empty tomb. And that's the reason that other religions have to include him, because they don't know where else to put him. They don't know what to do with him, because he is the only God. He's the only one who did what he said he was going to do. I need to make the case for Christ today. I need to convince you somehow through this short Easter Sunday teaching that there is nothing that compares to the resurrection of Jesus. There is nothing that is more important than the resurrection of Jesus. There is a hyphen to tell us that there is more to the story, because the resurrection, it continues to show up. It's all throughout the book of Acts where the church began. It's in Acts chapters 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, 10, 17. It's everywhere, all throughout the book. The apostles are teaching every opportunity that they had to share the gospel. Any opportunity that they told their testimony, they were talking about the cross. They were talking about the resurrection. There's a hyphen there, because listen, if you pull the resurrection out of Christianity, it would deflate like those bounce houses out front when we pull the plug. In a couple of hours, they'll just deflate and go flat. If you pull the resurrection out of Christianity, it ceases to exist, because it's the one thing that separates what you believe and what I believe from what everyone else in this world believes. And yet, it is amazing how many people aren't really familiar with the greatest story in history. The accounts of the Bible are loaded with details. Four different accounts: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the synoptic gospels. They are loaded full of details. And hear me, this story is not written like a fairy tale. It's not folklore. If it was written as a fairy tale, it would have been completely different. I guarantee you there would have been no lonely women finding the empty tomb. And those disciples would have never written themselves as scared, hiding, fearful for their lives. No, they would have written themselves as heroes. We stood waiting for the stone to be rolled away. No. The story is written too messy. Doubting Thomas never would have written that he had ran away and doubted, feared for his life. No, this isn't a fairy tale. But these men who wrote and preached about Jesus were men of passion. They were men of faith. They preached without fear of what they had witnessed. Every time the disciples preached about the resurrection, every time they told the Easter story, they were arrested and thrown into prison. They were martyred because of the message that I'm preaching today. Guess what? They would be released from prison. Some of them were lucky enough to be released, blessed enough to be released from prison. And you know what they would do after being beaten? You know what they would do after being starved? You know what they would do after having their families slaughtered and killed because of the message that they were preaching? They would find another available street corner, and they would pick up right where they left off when they were arrested a few days ago. There was nothing that could stop them. There was nothing that could deter them. There was nothing that would silence them, because they had both seen and heard. They were eyewitnesses to Jesus' life. They saw it happen right before them, and they had to preach it with everything they had. It makes me think there's something to it. You know, because me, I learn lessons. I don't like pain. If I have something happen to me that hurts really bad, I'm likely not to do it again. They were working in the hallway here the other day preparing something, and there was a hot glue gun, and my 11-year-old son, I would think he's smarter than this by now, but pray for him. He picked up the hot glue gun by the handle. You got an A+ so far. And then with his other hand, he reached and touched the silver tip. You better believe it, it was ouch. Several decibels louder than that. And then for the rest of the day, he was trying to find a cup of water. His nose, anything he could find to try to cool that thing off. And finally, being the good father that I am, I said, I bet you don't touch that again. No, Dad, I'm done with hot glue guns. If I feel pain, I'm not going to go down that road again. But these apostles, they had something that moved them beyond the pain. They had something that moved them beyond the beatings that they suffered and their time in terrible prisons. In fact, historians will tell you that all but one of the apostles died a martyr's death in defense of the resurrection. Peter, you were there. You want to be crucified like him? No. Crucify me upside down. You mean you're willing to die for this? Today, right now. This is the most important event in history. Why? Because they had seen the empty tomb. They had been in the presence of Jesus after his death. They knew he was the Messiah, and they were going to tell everyone they met, listen, this is an incredible story. This is an awesome event. This is what we celebrate today. The cross has a hyphen because there was more to the story. The resurrection has a hyphen because there was more to the story. Easter is a hyphenated story because it didn't end there and it hasn't ended yet. Which leads me to your story. You need a hyphen in your story. You need a hyphen in your life, not a dash that says, my life began on this day and ended on the day that I was abused, left, talked about, cheated on, disappointed. No, your story needs a hyphen. You know, something to tell us what comes after the heartbreak, what comes after the sickness, what happens after the divorce, because it doesn't end there. It doesn't stop there. I know you may have suffered. I know you may have gone through. I know you may have dealt with. I know there may have been incredible pain. There may have been unbelievable tragedy. I know there may be just beyond imagination sadness in your life. You may be sitting here today just overwhelmingly disappointed with how your life has turned out, and you think it's over. The only problem is you're still breathing. And every breath you take, every time you inhale, there's another hyphen blinking on the screen of your life. What's next? What's coming? What will happen? How will you allow God to work? How will you allow God to move? Because if it all would have ended at the cross, then Jesus would have been like many other men. But there was a hyphen. Because there was more to the story. I hope to see you the next few weeks as we unpack your hyphen. I'm going to be talking about there is more the next few Sundays. And I'm inviting you. I invite you personally. Come learn a little more about what God has for you and what he can do. Learn and understand that the rest of your life can be the best of your life. No matter what's happened, no matter what's gone wrong, no matter what tragedy has been, God can. Because we want you to see that there is life after death. The death of diagnosis, the death of circumstance, the death of tragedy. In fact, Paul said it this way in Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. He said, that I may know him. That's what I want. I want to know him. It's what's important to me. And here's how I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul said, I want to know Jesus. But not just in suffering. Not just in sadness. If that's how Christianity has been presented to you, the point that, well, you know, you're a Christian, so that's just a bad day every day. That's just a miserable life. Can't do anything, can't go anywhere. Just suffer your way through life. No. If that's how Christianity was presented to you, if that's how Jesus was presented to you, I'm sorry. I want you to know that there is a better way for you today. Jesus said, I am come that you may have life. Not just the inhaling and exhaling. Not just the blinking hyphen, but I want you to have life more abundant. I want you to live life to the full. I want you to live a blessed life. I don't want to just know the Jesus of the cross, suffering or sadness. I need a holy hyphen so that I can know the Jesus of the resurrection too. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this room. We're going to be done in just a moment. But this is an important moment. This is a God moment. This is a Jesus moment. It's personal. Because there's people in this room today that need to make a decision. You may be here on this Easter Sunday, your first time to a church, your first time in this church. Maybe it's been a long time since you've felt the presence of the Lord in the way that you feel him right now. Listen, I want you to make a decision today. I want you to make a choice. You may be sitting here today and thinking, you know what, if Jesus were to come back today, I don't know if I would be saved. I don't want you to leave here today wondering, unsure, unsettled about your eternity. You can leave certain, knowing that your life is in the hands of Jesus. I want everyone to pray with me today. Every voice, if you would, to just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you on Easter Sunday. I'm accepting the hyphen in my life. I believe you have more for me. But in order to receive what you have, I need to say yes to you. I need to repent of my sin. I need to say I'm sorry. I need to accept your grace, your goodness, your mercy. Forgive me today. You died on the cross for me. And today I lay my life down for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand today?